Welcome to Basement Movie Room. We're here again to discuss the movie Argyle, which has just come out on streaming. You can get it for $20, apparently, yes. Which we have done tonight. And that was a Jared pick. It was Mystery Movie Friday, basically is what we call it. And he has picked Argyle, which we have on the screen in front of us right now. So we are going to discuss Argyle, which is the newest movie from Matthew Vaughn, starring Henry Cavill, Dua Lipa, Bryce Dallas Howard, John Cena, Sam Rockwell. Ariana DeBose,
Samuel Jackson,
Bryan Cranston as well in this film. So we're here to discuss that, and we're going to do that with you right now. And so we got a bit of a late start, so it's going to be one movie tonight. So, and that makes sense. We also watch Full Swing on Netflix, which, you know, we're golfers, so yeah. We enjoy that. But ultimately, we're going to only discuss
We play golf.
We play golf not particularly well, yeah. But it's okay because we're discussing Argyle, which has golfers. Nothing.
We are guys that play golf.
Yeah, nothing to do with golf at all in Argyle. So, yes. Argyle starts off with Henry Cavill and John Cena and previous mentioning Anna Ariana DeBose and Dua Lipa. So, what Argyle is? It's a story of an author named Ellie. And I can't remember her last name because, I've had a few of these tonight. And along with a little bit of that, Jefferson Reserve, not a sponsor, but they could be if they choose to be.
This was all tonight, guys.
Yeah, down. Yeah, we made a dent. That's what we like to say. We made a dent.
We need to start, going off of our whiskey.
Yeah.
Like, how much fun we had with the movie versus how much fun we didn't have.
A lot of fun with this one. A
lot of fun here.
We've done better.
We have.
We've drank the whole bottle before. So, Argyle is the story of an author who is writing espionage books. And she's on, her fifth book. And the opening of the movie is, a scene from the book that she's writing. And Henry Cavill is in a chase scene with Dua Lipa trying to capture her. And Richard E. Grant also plays a very small role in this movie as the leader of the division, I believe is what they call it, or something like that. Hell, it doesn't matter ultimately. So what we get from this movie is that the author of these books is actually writing about things that actually happened in real life. And
can I stop you for a second?
You can stop.
Richard E. Grant, I think, is starting to take these roles where he doesn't really matter.
No.
But he wants to get paid.
Yeah. And he's great.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's fantastic.
He's like, I want to take over a scene and be done with it, get paid, and I'm out.
Yeah.
Rise of Skywalker.
It makes sense.
This and
Loki.
Loki.
Yeah, he's old Loki in Loki.
So
we very small role for him.
Had to jump in there, sorry.
Literally 2 minutes with him in this whole movie, but fantastic addition, as is anybody in this movie. But essentially, we are following Bryce Dallas Howard's character, who is the writer of the Argyle series. And we see her in a bookstore where she's reading the final chapter of Argyle, and then kind of going from there, we jump to a train scene where she's on a train because she doesn't fly, traveling to get back to her mother, who says she needs another chapter in this book.
She's her biggest critic.
Yeah, she is. Yeah. Catherine O'Hara playing her mother.
Because everybody loves her books except for her mother.
Yeah. So she finishes the novel. Her mother says she needs another chapter, so she starts working on another chapter. And this is where Cavill and John Cena and Dua Lipa, they're not real people. They're characters in the book she's been writing. So she's on this train. She's traveling to go back to visit her mother. She doesn't fly, so I guess she's assumingly taking a train and going to take a boat or an ocean liner back to the United States where her mother is to discuss the book. She's working on the book, and she's on the train, and all of a sudden, a guy sits in front of her. He's a scruffy-looking guy, played by Sam Rockwell, and Sam makes it clear that she's about to be assassinated on this train, and that he's going to take care of her because he is a secret agent. He is Aiden Wild, I believe is his name. And he's there to protect her and save her. He tells her a number of things. And there's a large sequence where there's a fight on the train, and she continues to see Henry Cavill's character in the place of Aiden's character during this whole fight, which is it's very cool.
Yeah.
Very cool scene, because it's like it's clear that they shot this scene twice. One with Cavill doing all the fighting, one with Sam Rockwell doing all the fighting, because they're cutting back and forth. Like you said, it's like quick wipes.
Yeah.
And that's what it is. It's a quick wipe.
You can kind of see the wipe,
yeah.
But it's like, it's super fast.
It is super duper fast. And so...
But the editing job on this movie was superb.
Oh, fantastic editing.
From a novice's standpoint.
Yeah, I didn't look at the editor on this film, but they did a great job.
Yeah.
Ultimately. So... We come to find out that Bryce Dallas Howard's books are telling true life events, essentially. And that's why Sam Rockwell's there, is to to save her from all these assassins that are coming after her. And he tells her this, and he says, once a gun lands in your lap, you're gonna hand that gun to me. And that ultimately happens. And he tells her like to bear hug him at some point. And they escape the train by him popping a door and throwing out a parachute and flying out of the train, at which point Bryce Dallas Howard faints. And by the way, spoilers, this is a spoiler review of Argyle.
I mean, up until this point, everything that we've talked about has been in the trailer.
Yeah.
And I even pointed out to you, I was like, man, whenever you see this much stuff that's in a trailer, it kind of worries me.
It's not a good sign.
Yeah. So... from that point on, we'll continue
with
the review.
So he rescues her from the train and introduces himself as Aiden Wild in this, and that she's riding Argyle, and he is essentially Argyle. So he rescues her from the train. They go to like some, I don't know, safe house, I guess, essentially, and he shows her that like she's being watched by these people, and that what she's riding is what happened, essentially. Bryan Cranston, who we haven't mentioned yet, is introduced as leader of the division, who's after her in this. And funny enough, that's Carlos.
Yeah.
Right there, Carlos.
Some of the critics in her, yeah.
Yeah, so she's in a book reading, and Carlos, one of the main antagonists in this film, is in her book reading. She doesn't recognize him, obviously, because he's the division, or is it division? Am I saying that right?
The
secret spy agency.
Secret, yes.
Yeah. So Carlos is in the audience, and like Cavill has this terrible haircut, and there's some people with this terrible haircut in the audience, and it's all very, very like funny, because it's like a bunch of fanboys. And one thing I noticed in this like book signing, like reading, is that everybody in the crowd is very attractive.
Yeah.
I don't know if you see it. There's no slubby guys in this crowd.
Right.
So there's something a little off there, mm-hmm. in my opinion, from the start. So she goes to this cabin with Sam Rockwell, and he tells her that they're like looking for her, and that like, and by the way, there's a cat named Aiden through this whole movie that's going to come into play. But Rockwell tells her, Aiden tells her that like essentially what she wrote really happened, and that what she's writing, they're after her for that, because she's predicting kind of what will happen. And there's a side storyline with the secret agents that there's this hacker that was hired to steal all the identities of the division's people. And she's kind of wrote that into her book, but Sam Rockwell's after that actual like data, that because he works for a opposing agency that needs this data. So he tells her that. And at some point, they have to move, and they move to a hotel, and she hears a conversation with Sam Rockwell that and there's a lot that goes on in between this, and I'm not able to explain this. There's a lot of gunfights and things. It's very cool. Cool gunfights and things like that. Sam Rockwell is actually pretty fucking great in this movie.
Lots of twists and turns.
Yeah, lots of twists and turns, but essentially he tells her she's being sought by the division because of this, what she's done, and that she needs to help him find this hacker because what she's writing is coming true. So what she's writing is about the hacker. So he takes her to a park and tries to get her to write more about what the hacker did. And that leads them to this apartment where this hacker was. They clearly see where the hacker was, and they find this book from the hacker that shows kind of like his stuff. And it's not readable, I guess. And the silver bullet. That's right. The silver bullet is what they call it, because the hacker made the USB drive he made with all the information on like a fake bullet. Fake silver bullet.
That's what they had to go
after. So that's what they're after, and that's what Sam Rockwell's recruited her for. So she's writing, and she's trying to figure out, it's like, hey, what's, and like, and they get into this whole conversation about what's the, like, this satellite, and in the meantime, like, the division is watching her the whole time, and so they're trying to get her, because they need the list, obviously, and Sam Rockwell needs the list. We don't know who he works for, per se, because he doesn't give that information up. But he tells her that they need to go find this. So they go to this apartment, and at the apartment, they're trying to figure out where it was hidden. They find it hidden underneath the floor, and it's just this book from this hacker that'll give him more clues to where this silver bullet is. And there's another firefight here. The concussion grenade part is great. Sam Rockwell hurts his back in this concussion grenade that gets thrown at Bryce Dallas Howard's character, Ellie. She throws it back into the room where Sam Rockwell is with his hurt back, and it blows him back into a chair, and his back is all better, which is hilarious because you have a bad back.
Yeah. It's like, well, I need a concussion.
Maybe grenade. You should try concussion grenade therapy.
Yeah.
But... so they kill all of them, and they leave, and they end up in a hotel, which was in Paris, I believe. And she overhears a conversation with Sam Rockwell talking to somebody, saying that, you know, he's going to put a bullet in her head, and she runs away from him. And I'm sure I've missed a lot at this point, but that's the nature of these reviews. You guys have watched this before. You know what's going on. Maybe you haven't, and if you should.
It's spoiler, mid-spoiler.
Yeah. So there's a whole sequence with them jumping off a roof, which is hilarious because they throw the cat or Aiden. No, not Aiden.
They should have just named him Argyle.
Alfie is the name of the cat. They throw him off the roof to prove that they can jump off this roof. And there's a boat key. It doesn't. None of this fucking matters, to be honest. At this point in the movie, it's all like just show.
It's fun.
So she ends up running away from Aiden because she thinks he's out to get her, because she thinks he's a bad agent as well. And she ends up back meeting her mother and her father in Paris. They get to Paris, and like, Bryan Cranston is a bad guy in this movie. He's the leader of the division. And we meet her mother. Catherine O'Hara plays her mother. And she's like, you know, we can do this. And you're like, your father's going to be here. And she opens the door, and her father is Bryan Cranston.
Yes.
So we know something's up at this point, that there's some issue here, that Bryan Cranston is her father, and it doesn't make sense to us. So Aiden...
But they kind of play off of, you know, is this in her mind, or is this actually real
life? Yeah, you never know what's real.
You don't really know what's real.
Because she continues to see Cavill throughout this in the place of Aiden.
Yeah.
Like, she sees flashes of Cavill, like, and Agent Argyle.
This is the guy that I envision.
Yeah.
This is our Superman.
So, when she runs away, he finds her at this apartment or hotel in Paris and shoots her mother, because all of a sudden her mother, like, holds the gun up to her, and she's got a British accent all of a sudden when she was American before. Yeah. And Aiden rescues her from... these people.
Great British accent.
Yeah, she's got a terrific British accent in this. So he rescues her from these people who she believes are her parents, and supposedly kills her mother. And we'll find out later that's not the case. And beats up Bryan Cranston and rescues her and takes her to a vineyard where she meets Samuel L. Jackson, who is the head of the CIA. Mm-hmm. So we come to find out that Samuel Jackson and Sam Rockwell are with the CIA. They're fighting against the Vision. And she is actually a agent for the CIA named Argyle. Essentially, yep. She was writing books about her adventures that she didn't remember because she was in an accident from when she killed the hacker. And she lost her memory, and they implanted memories in her head to believe she's this Ellie person who wrote these books. They had her, they kind of encouraged her to write these books to kind of figure out what happened to this data, which will destroy the Division. So neither one of them are actual parents.
Yeah.
She doesn't have any memory. So Rockwell and Sam Jackson give her the fact that she was a CIA agent that worked with them.
It basically becomes a Jason Bourne movie.
Yeah, it's sort of like that. Or yeah. Long Kiss Goodnight.
Yeah, Long Kiss Goodnight.
Gina Davis, where she remembers like that she's a secret agent.
Yeah.
So at that point, they figure out that the list was left with the Secret Keeper, played by Sophia Boutella, which you may have heard about in our recent review of Rebel Moon. If you haven't seen that, go back and watch it. It's a good review. We love some Snyder stuff, even though it's bad.
Schneider.
So she figures out that she was a secret agent, and Sam Rockwell, like, she doesn't believe what they're telling her. Sam Rockwell attempts to, like, beat her up, and she like just naturally, instinctually through muscle memory, like blocks all his punches and stuff. And she finds out that her and Sam Rockwell were in a significant relationship, essentially husband and wife relationship in the CIA. And that she was this agent, which she still has no memory. She definitely doesn't get him back. And they decide to go and meet with the Secret Keeper, Sophia Boutella, to get this information that she's holding that the hacker sent her. He had told her at some point that he's a hacker. She goes in, meets with Sophia Boutella, and it's very, very reminiscent of the opening of the movie with the dance. They do a dance.
Yes.
Bryce Dallas Howard is dressed in a very fancy outfit. I noticed that Bryce put on a little weight for this film. She's a little bit thicker, and, you know, I'm not going to complain about that because thicker is fine, you know, and, like, they do this dance, and then she meets with Sophia Boutella. Rockwell can't come up in, but he's essentially dressed like Argyle from the books. He's got the velour suit. He's got the frosted tips with it kind of brushed back into the spiked-up hair.
The spiked-up hair.
Yeah, it's great. So she meets with Sophia Boutella, gets this information. Boutella tells her, like, you can use my computer, and she's like, how can I know that? And during the scene, like, she doesn't give away that she doesn't remember anything. She has to play this character, and she looks in a mirror, and Argyle, played by Henry Cavill, is like, you can do this, you know, this is you, essentially. And that's the thing.
Yeah.
The book she was writing, Argyle was her, essentially. So she gets this info, and she starts looking at the screen, she's scrolling through it, and she comes across something that we don't see, in that there's an agent that is like, I think we're led to believe it's Sam Rockwell's agent that was working with the Division, but she leaves, and the Division shows up. Catherine O'Hara is alive. She didn't get killed. She was wearing a vest. So she shows up, and, you know, she realizes that Bryce Dallas Howard's character, Ellie, has realized that she was actually working for the Division and not the CIA, and that she killed the hacker because the Division told her to get this list. To be honest, the plot falls apart a little bit at that point.
They brought in... When she was injured, they brought in all these kind of, you know, like the little the dancer that
there's
music box.
Yeah, they have like how they dancer incorporated her to believe who she was.
Yeah, and you know, on the computer screen, it was a bit
hypnotoad.
So.
So she discovers that she was working for the Division, but she doesn't immediately go like with the Division. She kind of goes out and she wants to tell Rockwell what was happening, but the Division shows up and they give him some tea, which they drink, and they're like, well, you know, it's just going to knock you out. So they end up on this, like, they don't know it's a ship, I guess, when they wake up, but they're on a ship and Rockwell's being beaten for information, and essentially, Cranston and O'Hara are in there saying, you know, you worked for us the whole time. This is information we need. We know where it is.
You are, you're a killer.
Yeah. And meanwhile, we have, you know, Sam Jackson over there in his, like, little hideout in the vineyard that we're in earlier, kind of waiting to see if they'll send him the information. Jackson's great in this, despite the fact he has maybe all of 10 minutes of screen time in this movie.
He probably made more money in this with this movie than we will.
They probably paid him a few million dollars for this. But so she pretends to re-identify with the Vision, shoots Sam Rockwell, but the place where she shoots him ultimately is like a non-deadly shot, because she had thought about writing in her book that this an initial person that had died in her book wasn't dead because she was going to bring him back.
Mm-hmm.
And this is convoluted. I'm sorry. This plot makes no sense, honestly, when I'm talking about it. But so her and Sam Rockwell.
It really doesn't make that much sense.
It does not make any sense at all, to be honest. It's just a lot of fun, to be honest. So she goes out and decides to help Sam Rockwell because she realizes what she did with the Division wasn't the thing she wanted to do. And they have to get to this array because they can't transfer any documents. But they have to get to this array. They discover they're on an oil tanker. And the oil tanker starts spilling crude oil everywhere. And there's this whole scene because she was thought to be a figure skater. So she has that memory in her head and she figure skates through this crude oil on her boots to kill a bunch of guys. It's an amazing sequence, to be honest.
It's amazing and crazy.
It's silly.
And silly at the same time.
Yeah.
But so, you're just kind of glued to
the, and meanwhile, Carlos is also there. She has to take him out. But she takes all the guys out, and they have to get to this satellite array on the ship to transfer the information. They get there. They start transferring the information. And Catherine O'Hara shows up again with this music box, like you mentioned earlier, and plays it. And that immediately brings Ellie's memories back that she's a bad guy, technically.
Yep.
And she starts fighting Sam Rockwell.
Little Winter Soldier.
Yeah. It is very Winter Soldier.
We kept bringing up throughout this.
Yeah, Marvel.
Lots of Marvel influences.
There's
here.
A lot of Marvel influence. Even, like even Russo's
the,
influence.
Even the score we brought up.
Yeah, which
was very reminiscent.
Which the guy who did the score, we didn't really remember.
Yeah.
Anything else he'd done. I'm sure he's done more. He's probably done a lot of other Matthew Vaughn films, to be honest.
But the score was pretty great.
Yeah, it's really good. And it's mixed in with like some licensed music as well, which is terrific. It's all 70s, like disco or like R&B type stuff.
Yeah, almost like Prince-esque.
Yeah. Yeah, it's very Prince-esque. Yeah. It's like Aretha Franklin, Prince type stuff like that. Al Green, things like that. So she is kind of fighting against this, but she's fighting with Sam Rockwell, and they're trying to Sam Rockwell keeps hitting to like keep the feed going to Sam Jackson. He's sitting there, it's like, oh, it's 62%. Damn it, come on, you know, and it stops, and they're fighting each other, and. At a point, she takes Sam Rockwell down, and Sam Rockwell had taught her how to, like, stomp somebody's head and kill them early in the movie, and she's being encouraged to do that to Sam Rockwell. She starts to do it, and then Catherine O'Hara's character gets killed. You come to find out this is the agent from her book earlier on that had gotten shot but didn't die because it was the same shot she used on Sam Rockwell. It's like above to the left of the heart.
And and that's a character that she wanted to bring back.
Yeah, she wanted to bring that character back, and honestly,
she had gotten
obviously she did.
She had gotten an email from
a random fan.
Random fan.
Yeah. And it was that person. So she ultimately, Catherine O'Hara's taken out, the music box breaks, and she comes back to reality. And she finishes the download, and Sam Jackson gets the download. Cranston, they kill Cranston at some point in the movie. He has a gun called Clementine, which was never really explained. It's a shotgun. It's a trench shotgun from World War II.
So much fun.
Yeah. So he kills Deadpool's best friend.
Yeah.
In it with the shotgun, which is hilarious. He didn't last long in this movie. He's the accountant guy that is in Deadpool that parachutes down, and Deadpool wants to save him. So that guy. So that's kind of the end of the movie. They transfer all the files, and essentially the Division is dead, and that's the end of the movie.
Lived happily ever after.
So The plot is silly.
Yeah, it is.
It's a silly plot, but it's
entertaining.
It's no worse than like Kingsman's plot and stuff. It's a Matthew Vaughn film. If I didn't say that, he directed this, so it has good action because the guy knows how to direct action.
You got to go into this just expecting to have fun.
Yeah, you're expecting to have fun. It's not. I wouldn't qualify as a great movie, but it certainly is a fun movie. Everybody's given it their all in this movie. Cranston, Rockwell, Bryce Dallas Howard, Catherine O'Hara, everybody's given it their all in this
movie. John Cena.
John Cena, who's in it for maybe 3 minutes for the total movie. Because he's like the Aiden Wilde character when she writes. And he's like, at some point he holds up it. He's like, yeah, that's me.
There's a point in the movie where they're in that cafe at the beginning of the movie.
Yeah.
It's Cavill and Cena.
Yeah.
And then they switch to, you know, it's Rockwell and...
Yeah. Yeah. It's all editing. Like you said, the editing in this movie is like chef's kiss. Top notch.
And you're like, you know what? They had to shoot all this.
They
twice.
Did. They shot the movie twice.
Yeah.
Essentially. It's impressive what they did.
It was really cool.
Yeah. I mean, performance wise, Rockwell is fantastic as usual. Wears the stupidest shoes to wear because he wears these slick sole boots.
Yeah. It's you're on the rooftop scene.
Yeah.
You're like, he is wearing...
Terrible choice.
It's a terrible choice.
But yeah, I mean...
And, you know, I was talking to you before. I was like, I keep comparing Rockwell and Goggins. They're like the same actor.
They're perfected character actors.
Yes.
Is what... Like, exactly. You haven't watched Righteous Gemstones, but Walton Goggins... You've watched of it, not all of it, right? Because I haven't watched all of it. But Goggins in that as Baby Billy is just like...
Yeah.
And then the Fallout trailer as well. Like, Goggins.
Can't wait for that.
Can't wait. Yeah. Jonathan Nolan Fallout.
I didn't play the game, but I'm...
I did. I played...
Very excited for
3, Vegas 4. I mean, I haven't played the originals, but they're clearly working for Fallout 3 and 4.
We got so much good content.
There's too much good content.
I know.
We're watching Shogun right now. We're not reviewing Shogun, but we're enjoying the hell out of Shogun.
Oh, we're gonna get down and dirty on that one.
Yeah, we'll probably do a review of that at the end of the season.
Yeah.
We just don't have time to get together.
Can't wait.
For every episode on that one. But
can't wait for Shogun.
So, yeah, this movie's a ton of fun. Everybody's giving it all. Cranston is like the ultimate like evil, you know, guy.
He's perfect. As a bad guy.
He's perfect as everything. Let's be honest.
Yeah, why is he not cast more in basically every movie ever made?
Wasn't he the bad guy in Total Recall, though? The remake of Total Recall? He was the bad guy in that, too.
You know what? I kind of forgot about that
movie. Yeah, who wouldn't? That and the RoboCop remake. Like, Total Recall and RoboCop remakes.
No, I actually kind of like the RoboCop.
I actually love the RoboCop remake.
So
it's a lot of fun. Nobody gets shot in the dick, unfortunately. But, you know, remember that time RoboCop shot that guy in the dick?
Yeah.
But yeah, so this movie is Matthew Vaughn. Like, if you like Kingsman, The Secret Circle, which is not as good, if you like Kingsman, if you like Layer Cake, you're going to like this movie.
Yeah.
To be honest.
If you like to be entertained.
Even though this is not like...
If you like to be entertained.
Yeah, it's entertaining.
This is an entertaining movie.
Yeah. Like, this is not like anything that's going to win awards.
No.
Like, I'm not even going to rate it that high, to be honest. Ultimately,
this is something that 10 to 15 years from now, guys that haven't seen this movie like we like to do,
this is going to be one of those things like, oh my god, you haven't seen Argyle?
Yeah. Oh my god, you gotta watch Argyle. This was probably the most underrated film of our age, you know. But you know,
best film of 2023. Yeah, no,
kind of
really.
Like we do, we go back to like the 90s and the 80s and we're like, oh god, let's watch this movie. Haven't seen it in a while, or I haven't seen it. Argyle might fall into that category.
I think it's going to.
Yeah.
I think it's going to be like a cult favorite for sure.
It's fun.
But yeah, so it's a ton of fun. Rockwell's given a great performance. Cranston's given a great performance. Bryce Dallas Howard plays her role perfectly.
Yeah.
The cat is amazing, even though he's probably CGI.
Matthew Vaughn Ritchie is pretty good.
Yeah, you get him confused.
I get those guys confused
because,
so bad.
And everybody does.
It's very...
Because like you, they're you very get, like, close. Lock, Stock, and Snatch, yeah. And then you take like Kingsman and Layer Cake.
It's the like, same, it's
very similar style.
Except, I mean, Richie. Okay, I should understand. He's more English based.
Yeah,
and you know his movies are that, but their styles are so close.
Yeah, it's a very similar style, and then, yeah. You know, Vaughn's got away from that a little bit, but Richie has gotten way away from his original stylistic.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah.
But like,
I'm talking like older.
I mean,
Richie.
Vaughn did X-Men First Class,
yeah,
as well, which is just the best X-Men movie.
And it really is,
like by far.
I just watched that not too long ago.
Yeah,
too.
It's so good. But yeah, you're gonna get some Vaughn repeats in this movie. Obviously, you get Sophia Boutella, who was in Kingsman, which she's great. In Kingsman, she's really good in the very small role she has in this movie. Like I said, Rebel Moon, she's in that. You can watch her review of that.
We're like, she's not a bad actress.
No, she's very good, actually.
Yeah.
But she's just chose a couple of bad projects. The Mummy, which was terrible. But yeah, so this movie is a lot of fun. It's got a lot of great action in it. It's got some good fight scenes, which we'd expect of Matthew Vaughn. At this point, he knows how to direct action. He knows how to direct actors and actresses. I think he gives them a lot of leeway, to be honest, to kind of play how they want to. Maybe I'm wrong about that, but it feels like with Rockwell, I don't know how anybody directs Rockwell, because I think that guy is just, he does what he wants.
He's like, yeah.
He does what he wants, and it just works. And it's like, we'll take it, you know? Yeah. Rockwell is amazing. Like, if you haven't seen, like...
The guy has been great in everything.
Like, if you haven't seen Confessions of a Dangerous Mind, go out and watch that movie right now, because that's Rockwell's, like, Mount Rushmore right there. That's his role. Directed by George Clooney as well.
Yeah, and, probably that. Then Green Mile.
And Green Mile, yeah.
I mean...
Three Billboards?
I haven't seen that one.
You haven't seen that one. You should watch that one.
Yeah.
But Rockwell is just ridiculous. He's amazing in everything he does. Just to throw that out there, there's a movie called Box of Moonlight that Rockwell's in. It's a very early film he did, independent film. You haven't seen it. I know you haven't. No. But like my buddy had recommended that to me. It's a fantastic movie. Rockwell's just, he's basically the only character in the film, essentially. But that's a great movie. But Rockwell, I can't imagine trying to direct Sam Rockwell, because the guy is just top notch. He's top of his game. He deserves every accolade he gets. He's absolutely fantastic. Bryce Dallas Howard, fantastic in this movie. She is amazing.
I don't know
who she is.
I don't think there's a bad actor or actress in this.
There's definitely not. Cena, Cavill, Sophia Boutella, Dua Lipa
and
does a great job.
I brought it up to you. I was like, you know what? I think John Cena is actually a pretty decent actor.
I like John Cena a lot.
You know, there's some things that I'm like, oh God, he's like over. He goes over the top a little bit, but like in this, he's like the perfect tone. He's playing that role perfectly.
The way he
delivers his lines nicely.
The way I see John Cena is that he is a guy who will take any role and make it his. Like, did you see what is that movie with Tina Fey and Amy Poehler?
Oh God, yes.
Like,
what is that movie?
Oh, I can't remember, but it's like the high school reunion movie. He plays the drug dealer in that movie, and he's just so good. It's the best part of the movie. The movie's not great.
Yeah,
but he Pazuzu is his name.
That's
named
it.
After
yeah.
the
it's
the,
a terrible
the Exorcist.
The Exorcist. Yeah, yes. What is that movie?
I can't remember the name of the movie.
I keep wanting
to say Baby Mama, but it's like Sisters or something like that.
Because something stupid.
Yeah. It, like, he is the best part of that movie. Cena is another one who kind of, he will do whatever a director asks him to, and he does not give a shit. Blockers.
But he's...
He does the butt chug and Blockers. That it's just fucking hilarious.
Oh.
He's Peacemaker, obviously. I addressed Peacemaker a couple Halloweens ago.
Give me another season.
Give me that season, James. So, yeah. So, everybody's good in this movie.
Yeah.
Sam Jackson, good in his small role.
I mean, would you recommend this movie?
Oh, of course I'd recommend this movie. It's too much fun not to.
Yeah.
It's a lot of fun. I'm not going to give it the best rating.
I mean, Vaughn movies have been enjoyable.
Yeah, I didn't
this is
care.
What, this is what you go and watch a movie for.
I didn't care to get away for from Kingsman, Secret Circle, though.
I like them all.
They're, it's fun, though.
Yeah, it's That's still the thing. Fun. It's still
and
fun.
And there's references. Okay.
Yes.
Huge spoiler alert.
Yes.
This is in the Kingsman universe. This yep. movie is. She drinks a Statesman beverage in this movie, which is from Kingsman 2. And at the end of the movie, we get a small part with the guy from Foundation who played I can't remember his name.
He was a general.
He was a general that worked for the crown that dies with the rebel guy. It's like, that dude's amazing. But we get a little Kingsman like note because the bar is called Kingsman at the end.
Yep.
Amazing. They kind of rolled this into the Kingsman universe.
And yeah, we got a little excited about that.
I did. Because I really like Kingsman. Yes. Well, you did too.
I like them all. But yeah, I mean, the second one was the worst of them.
Mm.
So I like the Kingsman. I like, yeah. And I'm excited for
Kingsman 2. Whatever
that's
that
coming
is.
Out. Yeah.
Because that is fun.
Yeah.
And that's Matthew Vaughn's movie. Like Layer Cake is probably his least fun movie, and it's a ton of fun with Daniel Craig and Tom Hardy and all that. And that's a ton of fun. That movie is mwah. And Michael Gambone, who just died recently, not too long ago, and that movie is just a fantastic villain. The guy knows how to direct people.
Yeah.
I think is what it is. And I think part of it is that he lets the actors do what they want to do.
Right.
Like, it feels that way. Maybe he doesn't. Maybe he's like a dictator on set. But it feels like he lets the actors play the parts.
It almost felt like he was like, Cranston, be evil.
Yeah. Which Cranston can do.
Yeah.
Cranston can do anything, to be
Patella,
honest.
Be sympathetic, yet evil.
Yeah.
You know,
it's just
everybody's
so good in this movie.
And Bryce Dallas Howard, you know, she's directed. She knows what.
Yeah,
she knows
she's
the
big
craft.
Mandalorian director.
Yeah, so
some of the best episodes of Mandalorian directed by Bryce Dallas Howard.
Exactly. So I mean, this movie is a lot of fun.
Tons of fun.
Not the top Vaughn.
No.
Or Richie.
No, this is not better than Prime Richie. This is not better than Prime Vaughn, to be honest. It's middling for Vaughn, to be honest, and it's not his worst movie. I think Secret Circle is his worst movie, to be honest. It's not the best.
Yeah.
But one thing you know going to Vaughn movie is that you're going to have fun.
Yeah.
And even Secret, I think I'm saying that. It's Secret Circle, right? That's Kingsman 2, the Secret Circle, or the something like that. I don't know. Like, I don't do any research before we do these reviews. These are instant takes.
The Golden Circle.
I think it might be the Golden Circle. Damn it. It might be.
I think it's the Golden
Circle. It might be the Golden Circle. I've been saying it wrong this whole time. Damn it. So, but
it doesn't matter.
This movie gets a recommend for sure. And like you said, the soundtrack is where it needs to be for this movie. It's really, really good. Fits with the action.
It's fun.
Like the score is fun.
Yeah, the score is perfect. You know, there's some really
It's derivative.
Yes.
I will say that it's derivative, but it's supposed to be.
Good, yeah. Good word for it.
Yeah, it's derivative, but it's supposed to be derivative. It's supposed to be derivative of like Bond and Bourne. It's supposed to fit in that. But that's what it's supposed to be. So, you know, it's like copying homework, but it fits with this. And I can't remember the
you can't have like an epic score with a Richie movie or Vaughn movie.
Although the score of X-Men First Class is pretty great too.
But like for this type of movie, you got to have that craziness mixed in with a nice little score with the craziness again.
Yeah.
The score and soundtrack,
and again, fantastic 70s music soundtrack as well.
It's perfect.
Yeah, I love it all. It's too much fun. And that's basically it. And I no notes.
Check
I like
it
to
out.
Say that no notes. Yeah. You got to check it out. So
check it out.
I think we're gonna do a rating because we've been talking for about 35 minutes on this movie already.
God.
These reviews are getting really long, and I hope you guys enjoy that. It's good for the podcast, at least.
Yeah.
So. Rating. Do you want to go first or you want me to go first?
You go first.
Okay, I'm going to go first. Someone gets a 3.5. I think it's a 3.5. It's okay. Not a great movie. It's not going to stand up to like the best movies ever. It's definitely not going to do that. But the fun factor gives it the 3.5. It's not like a 4 or a 5. Obviously, I'm not going to give it that high because it has its problems. It's not, it gets a little convoluted, to be honest.
Yeah, a little bogged down.
A little ridiculous. Yeah. It's derivative. Again, I'm going to use derivative. It's derivative of other movies. But it works overall. I think part of the reason it works is because who he cast in the movie. I think the cast elevates it a little bit. But yeah, 3.5.
Yeah.
What do you got?
You know what? I'm gonna stick with your 3.5 on this.
It is. It's
because
what it is.
I mean, if you look at a 10 scale, 7 out of 10 is great. 3.5. Here we are. And I can't rate it any lower than that. I can't give it a 6 out of 10.
No, it's not a 3.
Yeah, no. It's not a 3.
It's definitely a 3.5.
This is way more. This kept our... we talked a lot through this movie.
And you can do that with this
and
movie.
And we, thing between, we went and saw Dune 2 last weekend.
Review on YouTube and
the
podcast.
We didn't want to really... talk to each other too much about it.
We were in theater too.
Even though I was like,
I want to say something.
But couldn't talk to each other. Now we're in, in a house.
In the basement.
We're in the basement movie room to where we can talk about the movie during the
and
movie,
other things.
And other things without interrupting anybody else. And we were able to do this during this movie. And still understand everything that was going on.
Yeah, it's
so
it's not a movie that demands your attention. You can kind of pull back a little bit and just watch it like casually. And I love movies like that.
Yes,
I love them because we're children of the 80s, in which 80s and 90s movies you could fucking pay half attention to those movies and they're still fucking great.
Yeah, it's like it's gonna happen.
Terminator 2. You don't have to give your full attention to those movies. Of course, I've seen Terminator 2 37 times. I know what's going to happen.
37.
Okay, 17. Okay, I exaggerated.
It's probably 37.
But yeah, this movie is a recommend for sure. 3.5 recommend.
Oh yeah,
absolutely fantastic.
Have fun watching this at home. Theater movie?
I don't think this is a theater movie. This is a
90s theater movie.
Oh, 100%.
Yes.
I mean, 13th Warriors was not, it would not be a theater movie today, but that was a theater movie in 1999. Yeah. And we saw it in the theater. And check out our review of 13th Warrior on the channel, please.
Yes.
So, yeah, 3.5, 3.5. We're in agreement here. Yeah, 100%. This is a fun movie. You should watch it. There's no reason not to watch this movie. It's breezy. It's 2 hours, but it's breezy, man. It felt like it went by quick.
Yeah. Have fun.
Yeah. There's slower parts, but really the action kind of... when we watched Dead Reckoning, Mission Impossible, which we didn't review on the channel, but that movie is boom, 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 boom. This movie is similar. It's very much carries, and Dead Reckoning is definitely higher than this movie. I would... if you got to pick between the two, pick Dead Reckoning, please.
Yeah.
Because that's a better movie. But this movie is a lot of fun. It's a recommend for
both of us. We're going to have to review that and part two.
We should. Even though they're not calling it Dead Reckoning part two because they're too worried about it not getting good budget.
Done. Yeah. Yeah.
So. Ugh. All right. So I think that's all we got. You got anything else?
I think we've been talking about doing a...
We are. 80s, we're going to do
80s
this.
To 2000.
Best director ranking.
Best director ranking.
Yeah.
Top five? We haven't decided yet.
I think it's going to be top
maybe,
five.
Maybe in an honorable mention.
Honorable mentions, yeah.
And then 2001 to 20.
Yeah, we're going to do that. Yeah, so, we're going to do that for sure. Look for that video in the future. I don't know when it'll be. It could be 3 months. It could be next week for all we know. But we're definitely going to do that.
Yeah.
All right, so... If you're interested in what we're saying here, you definitely need to follow us at youtube.com/@basementmovieroom or on our podcast. You can find us on pretty much any podcast. But we are based out of Spotify and Apple Podcasts. That's the two places it would be easiest to follow us. You can follow us there. This will be on here and on YouTube. We're also on Twitch, twitch.tv/basementmovieroom. We live stream these reviews every time we do them. At least most times we do them. Occasionally we don't live stream them, but tonight we're live streaming, so you could have seen this live and chatted with us and tell us we're stupid assholes if you wanted to. But
we can take it.
Yeah, I don't care what you say. I don't know you. Yeah. I don't know you. I don't care. But yeah, so this,
but we
this
will
is,
find you and we will fuck you up.
Yeah, it'll be like Jay and Silent Bob. We'll look up your IP address and find you if you make negative comments. No, not really. We don't care.
Yeah.
No. You don't like these reviews? That's fine. We're fine with that. We're doing this for fun.
Yeah.
But yeah, definitely check us out on our podcast. We'd love to get some more podcast listeners, which, you know, I listen to a ton of podcasts. You do too. And yeah, so that's it for this one. Watch Argyle. It's a lot of fun. Rating is not the best, but it's a lot of fun. And we will see you next time on Basement Movie Room. Jess.
Argyle.